Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Fetus Club. This is episode number 64 for December 2015. I almost said 2016. We're so close to the end of the year, so close to jumping onto the new one that it is infiltrating my brain like a Jedi master telling the weak-minded me what to do and what to say. Thankfully, though, we have other people who are less weak-minded than me, and I suspect one of them is a Sith Lord. Of course, I'm talking about Turkey. How are you doing, Turkey?
Oh, I'm good. Well, the dark side is always good, trust me.
Yeah. I knew that's where you were. I like this, fantasy about the show, that you're the dark side and I'm the light side. I'm the good guys.
Well, the dark side is usually more profitable, so... That's where the money is.
I don't know. In the end, well, I was going to say in the end they lose, but maybe they don't. And we also have someone from another, of course, Turkey is from Saudi Arabia. I'm from Paris, and we have someone for another corner of the world, Letad, who's coming back from Thailand. How are you doing?
Doing good. Resisting so hard to not spoil Star Wars.
Oh, so you've seen it.
I have.
Okay.
I saw it before the rest of the world, actually.
Oh, you have? Ooh, well, wait, you know what? We're going to be talking about this a little bit more because we're going to be covering the stories that were important in our side of the world first. But I don't think we're going to be spending a lot of time on them because most of them, I'm guessing, are somewhat depressing. And I figured this year has been somewhat dark. And in order to end on a lighter note, because I'm not a Sith Lord like Mr. Albala over there, we could discuss Star Wars. And
the best way to end the year is to make everybody cry. Let all the energy come out.
Well, I'm sure you do a fine job already in your everyday life at that. So you can come on the Slack and discuss this with people and tell us how the world is horrible. But for this one, we're going to be talking about Star Wars, not about the movie specifically, probably, but I thought it would be interesting to wonder and ask how that culture is present in other parts of the world, because for us in the West, in Europe and certainly in the US, it is the biggest thing. And that is absolutely a valid topic to discuss, because it has been in the public eye and it has been the main topic of discussion for the past week. And I suspect it's going to remain that for until the end of the year. So we're going to be discussing that. And hopefully it will be enlightening in more ways than one. I know already that Turkey, there's one thing that surprised me that I never thought about Saudi Arabia that you told me earlier. But we'll get to that in a little bit. First of all, let's get, the boring stuff out of the way and talk about the actual serious local stories. And I'm going to start just, as usual. And I think the first half of the month was definitely absolutely about the elections in France. We've had the regional elections happen, and that was, I think, the 6th and the 13th or something like that.
So did Donald Trump win?
Well, no, that was the big, you know, we've had a big push from the far right, and it was sort of panic for a week there between the two turns, where everyone thought that the far right might actually get lots of seats. It's a regional election. And before I even talk about the election itself, I have to put this in context. I don't know how many elections everyone has in the world, but certainly in France, we have so many that we don't even know what they're for.
We had two in the last 40 years.
Well, just two elections, period?
Yep.
So here we have the presidential elections, of course. We have the legislative elections, the parliamentary elections. Then you have the regional elections, the European Parliament elections, the Senate, senatorial. Apparently, I'm looking up on Wikipedia because I don't even know how many we have. Municipal, which are, you know, for the town you live in, which people worry about. Departmental, there used to be cantonal, which for cantons, I don't know how that's called in English, but it's like six different layers of administration and different bodies that do different things. Some of them are wider geographically, some of them are smaller, and I think the three that we actually care about are the presidential one. We have a turnout that is really respectable. It's about 80% of people vote, or even more, for the presidentials. Then you have the ones to elect the parliament, which are pretty big, and then the municipal, so for your town or city. And that people care about because they understand. A lot of the other ones, like regional election, I know that there's a regional council that does stuff and that has a budget, and on a wider level, I sort of understand that there's something, but I don't really know exactly what they do. And it's so complicated that when you hear about people not going to vote for this election in France, it's good to put it in context of how many of those we have. And at some point, it's kind of surprising that we even get a 50% or more turnout for these elections, which we do because people impart, you know, upon us that it is important to vote. So I think if in another country with a similar system, we might get a much lower turnout. And on the first turn, the far right got a huge boost. It was really present. It was everywhere. And people thought they were going to be a sizable force in that election after the second turn. And in the second turn, it all collapsed. And that was kind of the discussion was, for a little moment, you're making the parallel with Trump, Turkey, and I think it's really appropriate because it felt like a lot of people went to tell to the election booth to tell the people in place, the traditional politicians, that we are tired of your bullshit. We want people to talk plainly, to say real things, to not make promises they can't hold, and to all of this. And a lot of people discussed this and thought about this, and there was a panic of people actually saying, oh my God, maybe they are going to vote in the far right, which is obviously, you know, not as incoherent as Trump is, but certainly they are. Their program is impossible to put in place. It's like return to the franc, you abandon the euro, you come back, you get out of the eurozone basically completely. It's like it's a bunch of ridiculous, impractical, populist measures. And but then on the second turn, the things went back to normal, kind of, and it seems like the politicians in place are not getting the message, and no one understands what they need to do in order for this frustration that the people are expressing to be quenched, to be not quenched, but, you know, to be set, countered.
So, Patrick, you support that the Germans run your economy?
I support that we are stronger. I mean, that's my personal opinion, but I support that we are stronger as an economy if we are, 350 million than if we are 60 million.
Yeah, you're just raising the white flag to the Germans, though.
No, I mean, you have. There's little. Maybe someone will dispute this.
I have to harass you a little.
A little bit. Okay.
I beat the devil's advocate here, and let you.
Thank you. It's good that we have one. Talking about the way you see things. I know that in the U.S., the parallel with Trump was drawn more than once, and that was sort of discussed. I'm wondering if it made the news, which was pretty big in Europe and the West, made it to the Middle East and to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, definitely. It was a huge news when they won, and it was a huge news when they lost. So it was a very big deal, at least in the media here. People were worried. People were already starting to worry about traveling to France, whether it's going to be an option to travel there or not anymore. And apparently, it's safe at the moment.
So people were worried that the far right would put in place measures that would make it difficult for...
There are already people who are not very happy with the current situation, let alone when the far right is in control.
So as a, as an Arab population, you look at the way Europeans view your region and your people, and you're like, this is unfair. Try to tell me exactly what the, not exactly, but the sentiment, like, is it resentment? Is it, it's unfair? Is it, what do you, how do you see it?
It's kind of difficult to say. It's depends on who you talk to. We have those who would say, well, Europe has lost its way. There's no more freedom. There's no more rights anymore. You have those who would say, it's becoming anti-Islamic. They just want to fight Muslims, end of story. It's a war against Islam. You have those who are just not comfortable with the situation of being treated differently. So it really depends on who you talk to and how, what's their background.
When you're saying it's Europe is losing its way and there's less freedom, it's interesting that it comes from a country where there are, arguably less freedoms than in Europe. How is that? How do you reconcile that?
Easy. Why do you think people travel to your country a lot?
Fair enough. I actually, it's something that we tend to forget. We should be showing the way, but
why do you think you have such a big problem with immigrants? A lot worse than us having with immigrants.
Because they want to come here, right? I guess.
Yeah.
What about you, Letad? How was it? I really, every time I pronounce your name, I try to do it well, and I really hope I'm not butchering it. So if I am, please let me know.
It's fine. It's great.
Okay.
So, yeah, the way it was, the announcement was a formality, but the way it was reported that got kind of an interest was more about like reports of tactical voting. So, I mean, like people coming out to vote so that the other side doesn't win. I mean, just because in Bangkok, we had something similar about a couple years ago where, there's the party that opposes Thaksin and the Thaksin party, which is the person being banished from Thailand right now, and the former governor that was running, was his approval rating was very, very, very low, because he didn't do much wrong, but he didn't do much right either. But he still came out winning, and he got the most votes that a Bangkok governor has ever gotten, simply because people were afraid that the Thaksin party would win.
Yeah, I guess there was a little... Yeah, oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know how big of it that was, but I mean, that's how it was reported here. Because I mean, there's recently, especially this year, the past year, we've been controlled by a military government, so a lot of censorship, things like that. So Thai tend to be kind of like passive-aggressive about their censorship by, reporting news about other countries that, instead of directly stating things in Thailand.
Oh, that's actually pretty interesting. So it's kind of saying something about the Thai government. It's trying to say something about the Thai government by reporting it on the events in France and other countries.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And for this particular one, it might not be directly related to the government, but the military government, but it's just that's how it was reported, throwing back to the stuff before.
Yeah, well, I guess there was definitely a lot of tactical voting. Definitely when I said they were trying to send a message to the politicians, the classical politicians class that we know and that we've always had, there's a lot of that. As, you know, in the same way, at least partly, that we're seeing with Trump in the U.S., it's kind of, we are tired of seeing those people that don't, you know, it's even the way they speak. We don't even understand what they're saying. I don't know. I'm resistant to saying anymore because that would imply that before we did understand, but it's almost as if now we're at a level where we feel we should be understanding them, and they're not speaking plainly. They're not, you know, there's politicians talk is getting tiring. And as with every right-wing party, I guess the message from the far right is easy to understand. It's easy to put in context, and it's appealing to people who don't understand a lot. So it was definitely a message being sent in that way. And the reason we know this is that they didn't get all the seats they were hoping to get in the second turn. But I don't know how it's going to go for the next election, because at some point, if things don't improve, and maybe the key element is the economy, and that's always, you know, the key problem for everything. But I don't know that the economy is going to be improving anytime soon. So anyway, so that was my thing. The elections in France were definitely the first half of this month. Turkey, what about you?
What about me?
Well, what about Saudi Arabia? I mean, I'm interested in what you have been doing in December, but I'm more interested in the country.
My life is more fun.
But I'm sure it is.
You would rather to know what happened in this country than me. let's see. Well, the number one story here is still the war in Yemen.
Still? You're not done with that yet? We've moved on for months already.
Have you even been there?
No, from the story, I mean. Yeah, so it's still the big thing, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's the number one thing. We are also getting ready for the budget for this year, for the government budget.
What are you eating?
I'm eating something.
Okay.
I got my throat hurting, so I'm just chewing something.
Okay, all right.
So we have the government budget is coming out for the next year, and everybody's anxious to see what the budget is with the low oil prices and being us or the government already using their surplus for this year. It's really worrying people to see how is the new budget going to be out, whether it's going to be a lot weaker than last year. Is it better or not? And basically, that's the entire talk for the last 2 weeks. People are all talking about the government budget because that helps the economy. If the government spends, then the economy is well. When the government slows spending, then the economy slows down.
And that there's a lot of it employs a lot of people, right? The government is a bigger employer in Saudi Arabia than it is in many other countries, right?
Yeah, for at the moment, it's still the number one employer in Saudi Arabia for Saudi citizens. So I think out of the workforce, maybe 70% of the Saudi workforce works for the government.
Jeez, 70%?
Well, I could be wrong. That's an older number. It could have changed. Yeah, that's roughly about 70% of the workforce is a government employed. You also have all of these private sector jobs, and the majority of the private sector jobs are based on infrastructure developments and so on, contracting and so on. So you have a lot of projects like that. And if those stop slowing down, a lot of those companies are going to shut down because they don't have any more business. So that's one reason. There's also a lot of talk about what's planning ahead. There's a lot of talk within the GCC countries, which is the Gulf countries, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, UAE, Oman, and Saudi Arabia, about implementing a VAT, value-added tax. So
basically, the budget from the government comes entire. I'm guessing a huge amount comes from oil, right? So it's incredibly dependent. All of it,
almost 90%. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah. The VAT would help sort of mitigate the fluctuation of the price of oil.
Yeah, that's one. And there's also worries about the oil prices, the gas prices being raised. They're still fixed until today, and they're very, very cheap right now. So yeah, there's a lot of worries about. And this new budget, as soon as it's announced, is going to decide the next year for everybody. So that's basically what's going on.
Are there a lot of actually poor people, people who live in poverty in Saudi Arabia, or Saudi nationals at least?
There are. I don't know percentage-wise. If I'm going to guess, I would say 5 to 10%.
Okay. So yeah. that is a problem. So when you're talking about gas prices going up, it actually affects a portion of the population to the point that it's not just, you know, you're bathing in oil and all of a sudden, because the gas prices rise, you can't buy another Porsche. And, you know, that's your problem for the month.
Oh, no, it's definitely going to affect a lot of people, especially the lower class, low income people who and the biggest problem is, and that's why. Most likely, I doubt that they will increase the price of gas, at least that anyway, dramatically, maybe just slightly, because we are very rely on driving cars in this country. We don't have a public transportation. Right. So at the moment, I don't think they would increase the price. If they do increase it, I would doubt it's going to be anything to shout about or cry about. It's just going to be slightly to help out the government.
That's how it starts, Turkey. Welcome to the world of adult countries. You start with a little bit of taxes, and then you increase it until it represents 80% of gallon of petrol.
They definitely are going to increase prices for gas. The question is, I doubt it's going to happen before for at least another 4 years, which is when the first public transportation system, which is the metro in Riyadh City, for example, is completed. At least people would have alternative means of transportation. So I think the government would most likely, before making any drastic increases in prices, they would have to wait until public transportation is established, infrastructure is established, so people don't have any, they can't really cry that much.
Right. Makes sense. But don't you have like, it's all sand dunes and, you know, desert. So how do you put the metro within the sand? Is it like a Sarlacc monster or some kind of worm that digs the, I don't know how it works.
No, we just put camels every like 10 meters and then we put the lane on top of their backs, their humps, and we put the train on top of it. That's right, how right. it works here.
It makes sense. You're right. how about you, Lita? How are things in Thailand?
So Thailand is interesting. So in the past year, we've had, you know, as I alluded to, we've been controlled by a military government. Whose government keeps postponing the date of when we will have a election. Happily yesterday they just released a poll. The results of a poll that said 99.3% of people are happy with their performance. So
the government released a poll. Oh, so actually, people are good with the way things are going.
Your
That's
government is doing as good as Hosni Mubarak of Egypt?
Apparently, yeah.
Wow.
99.3, you know, it's more than 99%.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm curious, how do things work? Because there's some measure of control of the media. There's some measure of, the word when you don't let people say things they want to say. Censorship? That's the word
censorship.
I was looking
for. Yeah.
What's that?
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of it.
But, you know, how are things working on a day-to-day basis? Like, you're going out with your friends. Can you talk about stuff? Can you put stuff on the internet? I mean, obviously you're coming here sort of making fun a little bit of that poll. Is that okay? Or
You can't be too direct or else the state is everyone, both sides are kind of poking around to see what is okay and what is not. So, I mean, by both sides, I mean, like the government has actually talked about, for example, I mean, you talk about net neutrality. Our government said they were exploring the project of creating a single gateway for all internet traffic.
And Thailand is only the king. The king is off limits, then you can touch anything else.
Basically, that's it. But the government is, but the problem comes from the government now uses the law that protects the king to censor just about everything else.
Mm. So everything is done in invoking protection of the king?
Yeah, yeah. And that law is the law where anyone that is deemed to violate it, this gets very minimal kind of like court review. I mean, very few people have lost have won the case against that exercise of that law. And this is historically, this has always been the case. Like recently, what happens is that if you do anything that criticizes the government too much, if it's just the government, like Turkey said, then they may take you somewhere. And then after a couple of days later, they release you. So it's kind of like
a warning.
They call it like re-education, but it's nothing severe from the reports of the people that have been going there. But it's like a warning, a threat. But if you violate anything close to, you talk about royalty, then they have their excuse to, you know, put more severe punishments.
Mm. So, like, if you go out with your friends and you're, I don't know, you know, having a drink at a place of business in the city, and you're saying, you know, not you, but someone is saying inappropriate things about the government, is it the case that you have to be, I don't know, careful about what you say in a public place? Is there people telling on you and then the police arrives? Or how bad is it?
Yeah, day-to-day is fine. As long as it's just the government, day-to-day is fine. But it can't be on social media. It can't be on public media. Otherwise, then it'll get censored.
Okay.
It's gotten as bad as it gets censored. It'll get censored. But like Les Majesty has gotten as bad as someone was just arrested for liking a photo on Facebook about a post that complained about royalty.
Okay. So that's the thing that really you can't fool around with.
Yeah. So basically, you know that they actually know everything about you. But they haven't chosen to exercise it for criticisms against the government, but they have done it against for Les Majesty or criticisms about royalty.
Mm. Les Majesté is a French word, actually. Crime de Les Majesté.
Yes, actually.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. I'm butchering it.
It's fine. Just not more than I'm butchering your name. So I don't know if that's good or bad. We can hear when you're clicking. It's a little bit distracting. So
I'm sorry about that.
All right. You know what? I think it's time to talk about Star Wars. Let's talk about Star Wars. And as I was saying, we're not going to be talking about the movie itself. We're going to be talking about what it means in our different countries. And I think France is fairly similar to the US. It's something that has been, for my generation at least, a milestone of pop culture. And we've all been waiting for that movie with immense, you know, trying to rein in our expectations and at the same time hoping a lot. And so it affects the whole country. Kind of the marketing arm of Disney is gigantic, just as it was when it was Lucas, you know, the I can't remember who it was, Fox, or back in the 70s, and it's everywhere. And I guess there's some people that are sort of bemoaning the fact that there's so much marketing around it. Some people that are not taken by the magic and the majesty of the Star Wars saga. And you'll hear on the radio here and there people saying, oh, this is so, you know, strong. So it's so much that it's too much. And not in the cute, like, oh, there's this toothbrush that's an R2-D2 license thing, or like it's silly and ridiculous. More people are saying like that's just, you know, the big, almost like it's the big American machine that comes in and stomps on everything, and it's sort of this snobbish way of despising the thing that everyone else likes. But it's definitely not the majority. There are some examples of that, and it's so big that even those are like, fine, I'm not even going to fight it. It's just whatever. It's not for me. But by and large, especially in my circles for my generation, and it's kind of the only thing that's been around for the past week since, you know, the movie came out, and it's everything. It's what everyone wants to talk about. So it's definitely a huge thing here. My understanding is that it's not quite the same thing in Saudi Arabia, Turkey.
Well, it depends on which point of view you're looking at.
Well, you always say this. I know. I'm asking, you know, the general impression.
Which is what I'm just about to say. If you're going to ask me whether, because we don't have theaters here, movie theaters, so no lines, no people fighting to watch a movie.
And so, buying tickets, that's a big thing already. But you don't have any theaters at all. You don't have movies.
Nope. No theaters. We have movies only in our homes.
So is
you
that
have, like, streaming services?
Like, yeah, we do. Oh,
okay,
a few of those.
So is it
illegal? Or?
Yeah. That was going to be my question. Is it because it's not practical? Because men and women can't be in the same thing, or they would need different? What is it?
It's just not allowed.
Oh, so it's to avoid the corrupted culture of the movies to corrupt the minds of the youth, or?
I don't know. As far as I know, it could be as simple as they just want all the Saudis to travel to Bahrain and spend their money there because the Bahraini government needs some of the cash.
Okay. But you see the same movies at home, right? Are they censored? Is it like...
Of course, if you buy it on DVD or you buy it locally, or in the older days you buy it on VHS or Betamax, yeah, they're all censored. And usually heavily censored. But with nowadays, thanks to the internet, almost everybody either torrents it, buys it from iTunes, Google Play, or streams it on Netflix or any other streaming service. And you also have satellite options. We have a network called OSN, for example. They have movie channels that show some of the latest Hollywood movies and so on.
So everyone knows everything that's around.
It's not like everybody. Yeah, everybody knows. So if that's one point, Star Wars, be honest, I think there's a lot of fans of Star Wars. It's just you don't have the atmosphere or the environment where you have this fandom to show like you would have in the Western world. So, but there's definitely a lot of people who are fans and so on. I believe there was some lines in Bahrain, which is majority of those in Bahrain were from Saudi, going there to watch the movie. I've seen people talk about it on the internet, chat about it and comment on.
Sorry, just to make it clear, there is enough of a fan base, or there are some fans that would have made the trip to see it when it first came out at the theater from Saudi Arabia. So there is that culture.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely. I would have been one of those people if I wasn't a lazy bum. So
so I guess taking it a little bit wider is, this is answering kind of answering it already, but Star Wars is popular, you know, for some people at least, but it's kind of weird because Star Wars is a very Western view on space. You know, there's the evil empire and there are women in sometimes, you know, not very clothed, and they're hanging out and they're fighting the oppressive government, and their men are hanging out with women.
There's fans for every type of movie everywhere. But for Star Wars specifically in Saudi, I really don't think there's as many fans here as in other parts of the world, for the simple reason most of the fans would be from people who actually saw the originals in the 70s, late 70s, and very few people in Saudi would have seen those movies, and those people are usually far apart, and so with the newer generation.
Wait a second. Why would they not, you know, why would those only be the fans? Why not the younger people?
There are the younger people, but the younger people are more fans of running around with what's big and what's popular. They're not fans as in fans, as you are, for example, where you actually...
Kids.
are trying, you have this image of Star Wars that you are looking forward to. You have an idea of what you expect and what you want to see. It's not like the younger fans are mostly, oh, wow, that's cool. It's Star Wars. It's in space. Apparently, it's a huge deal. People are standing in line. It broke records, box office records. So, yeah, let's go and watch it. It must be great.
Okay. And so, I'm guessing... Sorry, Leta, you wanted to say something?
Oh, no. It's just like those kids. Those young fan bases. It's actually kind of the same for us.
Is it possible to you said you already saw it, so I'm guessing it's in the theaters everywhere. Is there a big marketing machine in Thailand for this?
Oh yeah, but you know what? It's from the sound of it, it's not as much as you, because it hasn't actually like kind of it hasn't dominated the it hasn't been the only thing people talked about, but it is something that everything has to tie into. So for example, like we just had a bid for the 4G spectrum in Thailand. It's a big deal because four big companies was bidding for only a few spectrum. It was kind of like, you know, it was deemed that if whatever company that does not get it would probably go out of business sooner or later. But anyways, one of the companies that won, they held a press conference, and in the press conference, as the manager walked out, the Star Wars theme came up. And out came stormtroopers, and then Jedi's, people in Jedi cloaks, all of them holding red lightsabers for some reason, and then they used the slogan "Made the company's name is True," so they had a the slogan "Made the Force be with True."
It's funny, you know, yeah, here we have those kinds of weird tie-ins as well, like even those that didn't get the licensing deal with Disney, which apparently is like three people in the world because they're everywhere, even those are kind of making their Christmas promotions and holidays promotions having to do with space somehow. You know, it's always about the space thing and the galaxy far away thing, and for all of them. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me all that much, but that's a weird one. Did it work?
People talked about it. I don't know if it was a good thing or not, but people talked about it, but the conversation has just like shifted. Now it's not as much Star Wars about as much as like Miss Universe.
Ah, okay.
But like we actually won the national, you know, like best national costume, and it was like a costume that was heavily criticized. So
I haven't seen this.
Apparently like Miss Thailand and Miss Universe competitions are a big deal in Thailand. It's kind of like in Thailand we used to say, like, when we talk about a beautiful girl, we would call them like Miss Thailand.
Okay.
You know? So it's always been something, you know, we're very like materialistic, and like we like good looking things, good looking people. So, have you ever seen tuk-tuks, like three-wheeled vehicles?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. So basically, the Thai Miss Universe, her costume was kind of like adapted as a tuk-tuk.
Oh, really?
So
sounds like it would make for either a very impractical costume or a super practical costume, because she, you know, if she goes away, she can just ride on her dress. It's perfect.
She has a big light in the middle of her, like Iron Man.
Ah, that is nice. Are the Marvel movies also popular, or?
Yeah. Anything pop culture, anything like American, does very well here.
So there's no anti-Americanism even in the militaristic government that, you know, is super strong in Thailand.
We like to pretend that we are very anti-American, but mainly because they have criticized you know, in Thailand, the main thing to understand is there is the royalist leaning side, and there's like the Thaksin leaning side, and the Americans have usually take the side of like criticizing censorship, and also the royalist side, because the royalist side don't agree with the outcome of the election. You know, so the people that don't support the royalists say like, oh, the USA have no right to criticize us, you know, but every day they use, you know, American products and American culture and watch Marvel movies, dress as them, buy them.
I think that's one of the, I mean, it's pretty obvious, but the cultural influence that the Americans exert on the rest of the world is pretty staggering. And it does have an effect, you know. I think it does bring, I was thinking that Star Wars is one of those things that brings everyone together, you know, in the world, no matter where you're from. At some point, if there's one thing that you want to discuss with someone that's not going to be politics or some controversial topics, well, it could be controversial about Star Wars as well, but it might be a thing that you can discuss with someone, and no matter where they're from, they're going to have a certain love, or probably if they're of our age, they grew up with these things. So it's kind of pretty interesting that this is very American and very Western.
Yeah. You know, like another perspective is like, you know, Thais like to say they would rather travel to, you know, Europe and France because it's places that have more culture. You know, they say like, oh, USA doesn't have any culture. But I mean, like, you only say that because you're actually living in the age of American culture. You know, you're living it right now. You know, I was like, you wonder what like the Romans were thinking about when during their prosperity, because we're kind of like,
were they like, ah, oh, those gods, they're so crappy. The Greeks had it right. Those are the real ones.
Those are the real cultural people.
Yeah, that's true. I'm wondering, Turkey, if the marketing sort of made its way. I mean, they're not in the theaters, but we know that Disney has deals with, fast food chains and stuff like that. Did the marketing make its way to Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, there's some marketing. It's I've only seen very low key marketing, not really something to push. It's if it's not in theaters, there's not much to push, and
of course
that's one. And plus, there's no holidays here, so no Christmas, no New Year's celebrations. So there's nothing they can push to say buy for the holidays. So other than that, I've only read maybe a couple of articles of a couple of shops that got the rights to sell Star Wars stuff, and they are selling them and promoting them. And I'm sure whoever the fast food chain that has the Star Wars rights is giving toys to kids that are Star Wars. But I haven't gone to any of those fast food restaurants recently, so I wouldn't know for a fact.
So
we have a Star Wars marathon in Thailand. I mean, actually, like an actual marathon.
Oh, a race.
That's called, a race. That's called a Star Wars marathon. I have absolutely no idea what Star Wars have to do with it. No, it's like, of course, you're not going to dress as like an Ewok and run around a marathon.
that would be an interesting marathon.
That would be fun. That I would like to watch. True. Ewoks and maybe a few guys as Harrison Ford and maybe Bikini Princess Leia and let them run around and stormtroopers should be fun.
Actually, you're mentioning Bikini Princess Leia. We know that for some reason it's a big fantasy in pop culture, in American pop culture. I'm wondering how those things play out in Saudi Arabia, and actually maybe even in Thailand, although my impression is that Thailand is a lot less shy about those kinds of things. But do people talk about, you know, this scene in the movie where there's that girl that was half naked because that's a place where you could see it? Or I guess porn is everywhere, so it doesn't matter all that much anymore. But
I think it's porn is everywhere. It doesn't matter that much anymore. However, for Princess Leia, she used to be my fantasy when I was younger.
Oh, so when we didn't have the internet, that was...
For me, at least. I don't know about the rest of the people in this country.
So you didn't talk about it with your friends. You were like, oh my God, have you seen that scene where she's like the slave of Jabba?
At those times, I hardly know anybody who knew anything about U.S. culture.
Oh, really? So how come you knew?
Because I lived in the States for a while.
Oh, but that was later, 80, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was 83 and 84. 82 and 83. Oh,
okay. I didn't realize. I thought it was just when you were a student.
No. I lived there for a couple of years when my father was assigned there.
Oh, okay. So when you came back and you had all of these weird experiences, how was it discussing with your friends in the country? Did you not discuss it?
No, I was a loner. I was the outcast. I just sit on the side and talk to myself.
Oh, so you—that's where your fantasies from being a Sith Lord started. You're like, I don't care about all of you. You
know,
I see.
It's interesting. It kind of makes me think that, you know, the Star Wars, it's as big as it is today, it hasn't always been this big. At least, you know, from a Thailand perspective, it's like, I know I'm a tech guy, so I have a lot of tech friends and the geeks. But when I talk about Star Wars with them, they don't go as back as far, you know. They kind of like associated with Star Wars in terms of, you know, they see photos and stuff from pop culture. So I kind of think they actually like know Star Wars from the internet rather than the actual film itself.
You think
original series.
There weren't a lot of people going to see them in the theaters in the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah, not the originals.
Was there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because, like, you know, when I talk with my you know, most of my friends, people around my age, around like 30, they like know Star Wars, but like they would think more about like the prequels, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, that's a popular thing, you know. Some people some people that are on the fence about seeing the new one, it's like, I didn't like the prequels that much. And I was like, that's the point, that you should like this one, because this one's supposed to not be like the prequels.
Oh, so but, they refer more to the prequels. I guess it's your age group as well, but people who are a little bit older, are they, I mean, the 70s, it was 30 years ago, so maybe it wasn't even, you know, there weren't that many movie theaters in Thailand. I don't even know what Thailand was 30 years ago.
Yeah,
so.
Probably. But the
I think the situation here is the same. It's not that much different here. I think most people who know the original Star Wars only saw the last ones, the digital ones.
Yeah. Everyone knows Darth Vader, R2-D2, but mostly from like photos on the internet, probably more than the actual films.
Okay, so it's that weird thing with the robot and the thing that people don't really understand.
Exactly.
Yeah, I doubt anybody in Saudi. I doubt much of people in Saudi have even seen the original Star Wars before all the editing and special effects that were added later in the later years.
Ah, again.
Yeah,
I'm spitting on the ground.
It saddens me.
What? Sorry.
Because. No, it just saddens me. It's like I hear a marketing person, they're like, oh, let's get in that Darth Vader and the white people, in the people in the white costumes. Like, you don't even know the proper names. You don't know stormtroopers, and it's Darth Vader, not Darth.
I personally, out of the Star Wars universe, I prefer Spaceballs.
A different topic. But so I guess I would have a couple of questions. The first one would be, are there any, pop culture legacies that are there for you in the way that Star Wars is there for the West? Is there something else? Is there some, epic literary work that everyone refers to in the same way? I'm thinking about the younger people or people who were young in the 70s. What was their exciting, childlike wonderment moment, if there was any?
Would find this interesting, Patrick. In my generation here in Saudi, anime.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really?
But anime became popular in the 90s. That's a lot.
No, here it was in the 70s. We got them all from Japan, and they were all dubbed in Arabic, and they were very popular. One of the most popular shows, for example, in English is called Conan Boy Future.
Mm-hmm.
It's called here Adnan and Lina, and that's one of the most popular. You have Simba the White Lion, that was extremely popular here in Saudi. I remember I was a huge fan of that show. I had all the videotapes of all the series when I was a kid. So for us, when we talk about when we were young here in Saudi, most of us would talk about all of these animes we used to watch.
Actually, when you're saying this, obviously, for us, I was thinking about the resurgence of anime in the 90s in France, but the original one, and the reason I think why a lot of people my age got interested in anime in the 90s was that growing up in the 80s, we had all of these shows that were, and even in the 70s, we had all of these shows that were older, but things like Grandizer, which is called Goldorak here in France.
Yeah, Grandizer was a huge, huge show in Saudi.
Yeah,
they can't.
I think that's probably the one that is the most revered. It's Grandizer. Everyone knows it with the names of the attacks and the...
Oh, we have the names. Ask anybody from my generation. They'll tell you the names of the attacks. They will sing you the theme song in Arabic and everything.
Can you tell us a couple of attacks in Arabic?
I don't remember. Let me see. Sahn al-Dawar. That's something. It's when he sends these circle discs fly from his ship.
Oh, clavicogir in French, think might be.
Dawar, which is in
the retro laser, the one from his chest. It's retro laser. How do you remember that one?
No, I don't remember.
Damn it! Okay.
So Doc Fleet and Grandizer and. All of that, so we remember all of those. It's amazing that you know the reason we had all of this anime in the Arab world, and for your information,
I was gonna ask you that.
We never knew it was Japanese.
Oh, really?
And nobody knew that it was Japanese. Everybody assumed it was made locally.
Oh, really?
Yes,
that's interesting.
At that time, and the reason it's popular because. And this is the hilarious part, considering how anime right now is in Japan, because anime in that time was very conservative, and it was closer to our culture.
Right, so you could import it without concerns about...
With very limited censorship. Most of the censorship are word censorships. We just translate something into a different meaning.
Did you have those as well, Letad?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say since Leia that we weren't as, Leia wasn't as big mainly because, we were more about Japanese culture and manga was big as well. And, Grandizer, same thing. But I think that's interesting because I think Japanese manga was born out of like an answer to Western comics, right?
I guess.
It's kind of like a culture thing.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, Japanese manga, they've always had a tradition. I mean, since the war, I'm not a great manga historian, I couldn't say, but certainly it dates back to just after the war. It might be a reaction to American comics, but they were, I couldn't say.
In a way, the way we learned about it was that, how can I forget his name? The creator of Atom Boy?
Oh, Tezuka.
Yeah, Tezuka. He was supposed to be kind of like the father of modern manga, and he was a fanboy of American comics. But that's how we learned about it. But same thing. Manga, robots, Gundam. My generation would be Dragon Ball.
Oh, Dragon Ball, of course. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Dragon Ball. That's a lingering cultural thing. But, actually, like, my brother, 8 years older, he said his generation, Tintin was pretty big.
Oh, well, Tintin was big in how old is your brother?
Around 40.
Oh, he's my age. I was already past Tintin. It was kind of for older people for me. But it's really fun that we're sort of, what I was talking about finding a common interest and a common point in Star Wars, we're actually finding in Grandizer. And like, oh, my God, the names of the attacks. Can you find the name of an attack in Thai for Grandizer?
I actually did not watch that one.
Oh, my God.
But,
it was there. It was there, right?
It was there. It's still around.
Did you watch Dragon Ball Turkey?
No.
Oh, not that one. Okay.
No, that wasn't here at the time. What we had is Grandizer. We had Conan Boy Future. We had Simba, the White Lion. We had... I forgot what's the name in English. It's Amira Yaqut, Princess something, and Sandy Bell. And
I don't know all of them.
Yeah, we had one something called, I don't know if you know this one. I think that the English translation of the Arabic name is Iron Man.
Iron Man?
It was part anime and part action, where this guy gets into a suit like a superhero and he fights dinosaurs.
I don't know the show, but it sounds awesome.
it's these people who they have this power, they unite together and they turn into this gigantic superhuman who fights dinosaurs and so on. And yeah, I still remember a lot of that stuff.
Okay. All right. So to bring the show to a close fairly soon, what are the things that are, you would say, the most popular in pop culture, be it American or not? I'm guessing it might be, but what are the pop culture icons now in Saudi Arabia and in Thailand? Maybe Turkey, you can start.
It really depends on who you talk to. I know I keep on saying this, but it's so much diverse in this country. I really can't put my hand on one thing. I know for a fact that for a lot of young girls, 15 in their early teens, it's Korean drama is very popular.
Oh, really?
Yeah, believe it or not. For older women, Turkish drama is very popular right now. Huge deal. For guys, in general, I think they're more into Hollywood movies. But I don't think there's anything specific that comes to mind that I've heard people rave about.
So it's not like the Marvel movies are super popular specifically or anything like that. Like it's not when that movie comes out, you know that all your friends are going to be rushing to the theater, and there's not one thing that you could point to that you
movies. No, there are a few TV shows that are very popular, either were popular when they are out or popular right now. For example, Friends was very popular. Right now,
France, right? The country, yeah. not the TV show Friends.
Friends.
Ah, damn it. Okay.
TV show. Game of Thrones is very popular. People follow it like crazy. It's even people get pissed when people tell the spoilers about it.
Of course. But so, you know, it's sorry to interrupt, but it feels very difficult for me to reconcile the image I have of Saudi Arabia that is the cultural war that is incredibly present in our thoughts and in our understanding of this region of the world. And a lot of those things you're talking about would seem to convey our Western culture. How can that not be a problem for the administration, the religious police, all of this?
It is a problem for some people, and it is and there is a cultural war going on in Saudi between some of these people and people who love Hollywood, love anime, and so on, stuff like that. It's just in general, overall, at the end of the day. People, as long as they do it at their own private homes, they just enjoy whatever they like. It's something to enjoy.
But I guess it's not the cultural divide between the West and the Middle East is not so immense that these kinds of pieces of entertainment would be bizarre or outright rejected
by
everyone.
It's not entertainment. The biggest problem is social structure. It's not basically entertainment. I think entertainment is popular everywhere and different people have different tastes, but they generally enjoy entertainment. It's social status, social structure. That's where the biggest difference is. And you might find, believe it or not, you could find someone who is extremely conservative and believes in a very conservative social structure, and yet he watches Hollywood movies.
How does that work?
This is entertainment, and this is my actual life.
Okay. So, Letad, does that speak to Thailand at all?
In the same aspect as that, you know, we could watch Hollywood movies, so we would not expect to do the same things they do in the movies. You know, like, I'm not talking about like extreme action stuff, but kind of like the way you kiss in public and things like that. You know, it's just because, we watch it, we enjoy it, but we would not accept like it on the streets.
So I guess it's kind of like. Go ahead.
It's because the people on the screen don't look like us. I think that's an important aspect. So it helps in that. Yeah, it helps in that. You know, divide it. It's a different culture. It's different people. It's okay for them to do it, but doesn't mean it's okay for us.
So I guess, is that also the case for Saudi Arabia, Turkey?
I think that might be one reason. Yeah, it's possible. I can see it that way. And by the way, one other thing that was very popular for old people, old men, wrestling.
Yeah. Really? Oh.
WWE was hugely popular. WWF at the time. It was called WWF. It was huge. I remember when I was like in the late 80s, maybe early 90s, there was a place that has these VHS of wrestling matches and people go and fight over it. Just take it, especially old men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. They just put in the VHS and they just sit and they actually argue with each other who's the better wrestler and who they like and who they don't.
I think out of all the unlikely things I would have expected you to say, this is probably at the top.
Believe it, it was huge.
The sound quality just dropped for a second there, but Letad, I think you still wanted to say something else.
I don't remember.
Okay, never mind. But you know, I think
he was shocked. Oh, yeah.
The wrestling became suddenly popular here too, but I mean, not in a different in the younger generation actually, because we suddenly got like a crazy Thai announcer that was translating it.
I remember what
I was going to say.
You know, Letard, that's actually how it became popular here.
Really?
I just remembered. Yeah.
People love the announcer, right?
Yeah, Saudi announcer made it very popular.
Huh. Interesting. you remembered what you were going to say?
Oh, yeah. Going back to like the different culture and film thing, I think something that would be censored in a Thai movie would be allowed to stay in a foreign movie shown in the same theater.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So it further demonstrates the difference between when it's not people who look like us, it's more foreign and like literally.
Yeah.
And so I think I've never really looked at it like that, but obviously there are things that we see in the movies that are a weird, different thing that we can probably relate to those movies a little bit more because it's closer culture and closer just physical appearance. But obviously there are things, you know, it's movies and you see the things and you're like, yeah, you know, they go around shooting people. It doesn't mean we're going to do it or that it's unacceptable to watch it on the screen. So I guess that does make sense for us as well. It's just, I wasn't putting two and two together that those are movies. It's not real life, which, you know, I argue very often with people, but, All right. Do you want to, conclude the discussion?
I mean, just answering your initial question, what popular icons, it's kind of the same thing for Saudi Arabia, actually. For girls, you know, Korean drama is pretty popular. We're just moving past the age of Korean girl groups and boy bands. And for boys, it would be Marvel superheroes.
Yes, Marvel superheroes. You know, it's one of those things that... incredible that we're seeing it take over the world, like quite literally when it was the nerdy thing to like when we were younger and we don't have in France the cliques and the bullying and the jocks and the nerds and the geeks quite as much in high school, but certainly it's not like that in France, but it was still the thing that the younger people liked.
I think that thing is uniquely American.
Yeah,
I've never heard it in any other country except in the States.
I agree. I think it would be interesting to do a show with someone who has knowledge of a little bit more of all of this and to discuss it, how it relates. Is it just an American thing? Because for me, of course, you have groups of kids, but or maybe it's just exaggerated in the movies and in the pop culture, you know, representation. Maybe it's exaggerated and it's like that nowhere. I'm sure that would be an interesting discussion to be had at some point, but at a later show, there are so many things we want to talk about. Before we get out of here and we let everyone have a wonderful holiday, except for Turkey, because apparently he hates joy. I know you don't have the holidays in Saudi Arabia. I understand.
Humbug.
I just wanted to mention that the reward structure for the Patreon for the Felix Club has been overhauled, and there are many different things that you can get now. I think it's a lot more substantial than just the silly little titles, and it was past time that I change all of this. And although the titles are still there for those who like those, but one of the things is the Slack. I opened the Slack, and the $3 level reward is access to the Slack chat for the French Spin group, in which we do have a Phileas Club channel, obviously. So if you're allergic to French, don't, you know, be aware that in the general channel, there are probably going to be a lot of people speaking French. So I'm guessing Turkey is going to put his hazmat suit on before he ventures in there. But if you want to join us in the Phileas Club channel, maybe to start discussing that question of whether or not the cliques are correctly portrayed in the American culture. There are a few people in there at the $3 or up reward level. We can discuss it in the on social media and on the comments of the show at frenchspin.com as well, of course, but it is a very appropriate way to discuss it, I think, in the Slack channel. And I think it's a nice reward for people who are invested in the show enough that they are okay with supporting it financially. So I think it works. If it doesn't, we'll move it around and we'll change it. But that I just wanted to mention it. And if you want to join the Phileas Club's Patreon, it's at patreon.com/theFileasClub, of course. And I thank immensely all of the people that have made this possible and that are continuing to support the show, that have supported it throughout 2015 and who are continuing to support it in the future. Thank you so much. You know, we keep thanking everyone who supports these projects on Patreon, on all the shows we do, but it's really heartfelt every time, and it's truly staggering to me that you would spend your hard-earned cash on something that I do and on a silly little project like this one, which I think is very important. But, you know, I'm always amazed that people agree that it is worth their time and money. So thank you so much for being a part of this.
I have a couple of questions for you first.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Number one, when are we going to have a level where we actually earn a scarf and cheese?
That is, you know, I have been thinking about doing something with the scarf, but the problem is the physical rewards are handled differently. Obviously, it's a lot more work, and I'm not sure it's worth it like this, but it's also handled differently administratively and for the taxes. So I don't think I'm ever going to do physical rewards. So sorry, that's the answer to the first one.
Okay, now I have three questions. Question number two, why don't you just take your residency in Estonia and make your company there instead?
Well, some people might have heard that I'm actually moving to Finland early next year. So I guess I didn't mention it on the show. Yes, I'm moving to Finland. My wife wants to spend some time there. As you know, she's Finnish and I love the country, so I'm happy to be there. It is just a stone throw away from Estonia. So that would have been a possibility. But I'm very proud to have my company in France and to be paying taxes in France. So I'm staying with the proud patriotic choice, I guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, final question. Manel asked me this, and I told her, the hell I know. What does the Phileas Club mean?
You don't know? It's been 5-6 years.
She looked at me and she said, What? You're recording your show and you have no idea what it's...
I'm looking at you like this, Turkey. And your audio is breaking down a little bit, by the way, but we did hear the question. Letad, do you know what it stands for?
You know, I'm a Patreon supporter, and I myself have had that question.
Oh, my God! My God. Okay, well, it's good you asked the question there. I'm guessing a lot of people don't know. I think I mentioned it on the show here and there, but maybe I don't. The Phileas Club comes from Phileas Fogg from Around the World in 80 Day. He's the main character in that novel. Yes. Yeah, so obviously, you know, Around the World, it's a show about people from around the world. Phileas.
I've been trying to convince my wife to watch that movie, but well, it's 3 hours long, and she keeps on saying no.
I'm not sure the movie is great, but the book definitely is good.
Come on, the classic? It's like, yes. I love the classic movie.
You know, maybe now that she understands what this show gets its name from, maybe you can convince her to watch the movie.
All right.
That was a great question. I'm glad that I clarified this on the show. Turkey, can you let us know where people can find more of your entertaining evilness?
Well, if you're lucky, you'll find me posting on Twitter, and my ID is at Turkey Albella, TurkiAlbella.
Excellent. Letad, what about you?
Yeah, if you're even more lucky, you'll find me posting on Twitter. LERTAD.
And the links will be in the show notes. For me, it's also on Twitter, Not Patrick. You can find my account there. I'm also on Facebook, Not Patrick as well. And you will also find the show at FrenchSpin.com. You'll also have a show about video games there called... what's it called again?
Pixels. Right.
Pixels. Thank you. And I think finally...
You know. You need to change the name.
Why?
That movie ruined it.
Oh, right. No, I think the show is stronger than the movie. So I'm going to keep the good name Pixels Unsullied from the show. And actually, I have to put links to the other shows I do on the site. I just put the links to the French shows, but I realize I don't have links to the shows I co-host. So I'm going to go and put that up very soon so people can get links to shows like The Instance, Daily Technician.
Two shows?
Well, I do. I co-host a Daily Tech News show, The Instance, Overwatchers, things like that. So I'm not the one producing them, but people might be interested in them as well. So,
do you have a life?
I am less and less now that I have a company to run. It's pretty terrible, I have to say. I didn't expect it to be that time-consuming. But, you know, it's the beginning. Obviously, I'm setting things up. And if you want to hear more about all of this, and if you're level $3 or up Patreon, please come join us on the Slack and discuss things in the Phileas Club channel. And as I was saying, I'm super interested in hearing more about the cliques in American culture. So if you know a little bit about that, please come and let us know. And that's going to be it for us. We'll be back. I don't know if we're going to do a special episode next month. I'm going to try, but I'm going to be basically in the middle of all of the moving things. But we'll see. I really want to do one. I discussed this on a video on the Patreon's page. And I have some ideas, so we'll see if it works out. But no matter what happens, we'll have a regular episode, of course, next month. So please look forward to that. That's it for us. Have a lovely holiday if you're celebrating any. And if you're not celebrating any, well, I love you anyway. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Humbug.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.